they're a pretty fun team. They're a young team. Maybe now we've been saying young team for so long that now maybe they're no longer the young team. But I'm interested by this team, as maybe it sounds like I am for every team. But no, I think he's proven his worth in gold for South Africa and in recent years. Well, in recent year, probably more accurate. So fun to watch when he's going, but he's going very rarely. Like, he's very, very inconsistent. And I realized through all of this, I don't think I covered the Kolkata Knight Riders. Did I? I don't think I did. You know, you can never rule out the Mumbai Indians, is what I've sort of learned over time. RCB, this team is such a challenge to talk about. Oh, it's a royal challenge to talk about, if I might. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast by the fans for the fans. Today it's just me, Rishabh. We all have different things going on, so we usually have to rotate around a little bit. All of us have had a couple of eps here and there where we just do it solo, so today's just my turn. But we'll get into this week's topic. But before we get into this week's topic, a quick reminder of what we discussed last week. We covered two different areas. We started off by covering the bans that are being placed from a sports perspective on Russian and Belarusian athletes, obviously in relation to the Russia-Ukraine war. We covered a subset of sports, the major sports that we cover. So there was focused on football, F1, tennis, the Paralympic Games, and athletics. So do check that out. We also then, in the same episode, covered what happens in the UEFA Champions League. So look forward to the quarterfinals, as well as our predictions for who we think will be the teams going all the way, as well as the eventual champions of this season of the UEFA Champions League. So check that out. It covered a couple of different areas. Hope you can enjoy it. But with that, let's get into this week's episode. This week's episode, for those of you cricket fans out there, you probably know this already. The IPL's been going on for about a week. At the time that I'm recording this, it's actually only been about 2 days in. So there have been three games totally done so far. So it's right at the start. Like we do with most of the IPL seasons, we like to do a quick summary of the tournament to come, the teams and the squads that, you know, look exciting, look not so exciting, and some predictions for the season. As a quick reminder to our viewers and listeners, a bit of a change in the IPL format this year. So the IPL obviously added two new franchises in the form of the Gujarat Giants and the Lucknow, sorry, the Gujarat Titans and the Lucknow Super Giants. I'm getting confused with all these Challenger and King names that exist. So I'm getting mixed up with all the names. But anyway, it's Gujarat Titans and Lucknow Super Giants. They're the two new franchises introduced into the IPL. With their introduction, the IPL is going to continue to have the same number of games being played by teams. So by team, there is still only going to be 14 games played per team. The way in which it'll be structured is there are going to be two sort of artificial groups created. They've already been created, two separate groups. In the eventual standings, it won't really matter because everyone's going to be lumped together in the points table. But just for fixture scheduling, there are two groups that have been created of five each. You play each team within your group twice. So the four other teams that are in your group, you face them twice. So that makes up eight of the games. You would then play four of the teams from the other group once. So that makes up 12 games. And then you play one team from the other group twice. So it's kind of complicated, but the total number of games stays the same at 14. A little bit of an interesting format, something new that they're trying out, in essence, to keep the number of games down to a certain number. So the groups are: Group A is Mumbai Indians, KKR, Rajasthan Royals, Delhi Capitals, and Lucknow Super Giants. Group B are the Chennai Super Kings, Sunrisers Hyderabad, Royal Challengers Bangalore, Punjab Kings, and Gujarat Titans. Again, this won't matter for the final points table. It's still just one points table. It's more for fixture scheduling that these two groups were created. With that, let's get into some of the actual teams. So, like we do for most seasons that, you know, the seasons that we've covered so far of the IPL, we're going to look into some of the teams. I'm going to go through this alphabetically just so that we get through all the teams, talk about some of the players that, you know, were brought in, what the squad looks like, anything that may stick out to us. I'll also try and cover in this episode any players who are currently unavailable because of any series that they're playing at the international level. Let's start off alphabetically. Number one team that comes up, Chennai Super Kings. I should, you know, if, you know, I'd get called out on this because I'm typically very, very bad at making predictions. For those of you who have seen or viewed our last year's episode for the IPL, I basically completely shat on the Chennai Super Kings, despite being a Chennai Super Kings fan myself, because I thought the team, frankly, was quite old. I have to say, I still think that's the case. Now, I know last season I said that and they ended up winning the IPL. I'd be more than happy if I said this again and they ended up winning again. But I feel the exact same way about them this season. One of the exciting themes that we're going to see as you go through these teams is a lot of changes in captaincy. Chennai Super Kings is one of those teams where Ravindra Jadeja is going to be taking over from Mahinder Singh Dhoni. Kind of tough shoes to fill, to be very honest. Jadeja hasn't had too much experience at an international or even in the IPL level with captaincy. So this is going to be an interesting challenge for him. But he's taking on captaincy. Obviously, some big names in these teams, but a lot of the big names to me are big names from the past. You have Mahinder Singh Dhoni, of course, in the team. Moeen Ali, I think, was a pretty helpful contributor to the Chennai Super Kings team last season. He's a bit of an underrated all-rounder, obviously, you know, is pretty useful with the ball, but has started bowling less and less in international cricket, but a very helpful left-hander in their lineup. Ambati Raidu, kind of an aging player as well. Dwayne Bravo, at the age of 38, is still playing. So a lot of these names in here are kind of blasts from the past that maybe aren't super exciting right now. Having said that, I think the one shining essence through this all is Ruturaj Gaikwad. Ruturaj Gaikwad, for those of you who remember last season, was the Purple Cap winner. So he's going to be an interesting player to watch this season. Sorry, I always confuse these two as well. I meant the Orange Cap winner. He got the most runs last season with 635 runs. The person, though, who finished second to Ruturaj Gaikwad in the Orange Cap standings last season was Faf du Plessis. Chennai Super Kings this season do not have Faf du Plessis, who's now moved on to RCB and will actually be RCB's captain for this season. And my take is this is really going to hurt them. To be honest, I don't think they had a particularly strong squad last season either, but I think this is going to be hurt even further by the fact that there's no Faf du Plessis this season. I think a lot of their performance last year was carried by the top order of Ruturaj Gaikwad and Faf du Plessis. Missing out on Faf du Plessis is going to make it pretty darn tough for them, in my opinion. I'm not very optimistic of this team. I don't think they have much of a chance. I would not predict them as reaching even the qualifier rounds. I don't think they'll finish in the top four just because of the same reasons that I already said. They're a team that is kind of aging. They were heavily reliant on Ruturaj Gaikwad and Faf du Plessis this season. As a reminder, Faf du Plessis' stats for the last few seasons, he has been a phenomenal player in the IPL for the last few seasons. In 2021, he averaged a 45. 2020, he was averaging 40. So very high averages, especially for the T20 game. He's not, you know, he's done a decent strike rate, despite not being someone who I think of as having an extremely high strike rate. He had a strike rate of about 138 last season, 140 the season before that, had 633 runs in the 2021 IPL, 449 runs in the 2020 IPL. So last two seasons, he's really, really come to life in the IPL. He's obviously a very technically sound player, a very composed batsman, really nice person, to, in my opinion, to have at the top of the order to really set the foundation. And I'll get into RCB in a little bit, but I think he's going to be a vital piece to the puzzle for RCB this season. But honestly, this team, not super excited about it. I love Jaddu. I think he's going to keep playing well. At the time that I'm recording, they have played one game. They played a repeat of the final from last season against the KKR, against Kolkata Knight Riders. Didn't really have a great performance. Mahinder Singh Dhoni, surprisingly, after a long time, I've seen him have a pretty good innings of 50 of just 38 balls, but that only got them to 131 runs, which obviously was not, you know, was nowhere enough, no way enough for the Knight Riders team, who were easily able to chase that down. So there was 0-1 at the time of recording, and very honestly, I don't expect this to be a good season for them. Dwayne Pretorius will be at the South Africa versus Bangladesh series. He's a South African cricketer, so he'll be out for a part of the tournament. The tour ends April 12th, so it depends on which part of the tour he's going to be involved in, but there's a possibility he won't be there till, you know, much later in the season. So not a great look for Chennai Super Kings. But I think the team that's always considered the polar opposite, in my opinion, the Chennai Super Kings, the Delhi Capitals. I'll move on to them next because they're a pretty fun team. They're a young team. Maybe now we've been saying young team for so long that now maybe they're no longer the young team, but I still think they have some pretty solid young pieces to them. Rishabh Pant is going to be taking over as captain. With injuries last season to Shreyas Iyer, he anyway had to take on a lot of that responsibility. He's going to continue in that role as captain. Shardul Thakur now is going to be part of the Delhi Capitals team. Akshar Patel, Prithvi Shaw, as well as Kuldeep Yadav from an Indian standpoint. They have some really hard-hitting foreign international players, though. Mitchell Marsh, David Warner joins them from the Sunrisers Hyderabad team. Mustafizur Rahman and Lungisani Ngidi. So very, very, very solid players coming from the outside. Having said all that, a lot of their foreign players are currently involved in international series. So Mitchell Marsh is involved with the Australia series currently going on in Pakistan. Mustafizur Rahman, David Warner, and same for David Warner, pardon me. Same for David Warner. He's also currently in Pakistan. Mustafizur Rahman as well as Lungisani Ngidi are both going to be in the Bangladesh versus South Africa series that's currently going on. So even though they have a really good set of their international players, a lot of them are going to be away, which is going to be a little bit of a struggle for them. A couple of things to really keep in mind for them. At the time that I'm recording this, they actually had a game that they were phenomenally impressive in. They end up actually beating the Mumbai Indians, chasing down 179 for the loss of 6 wickets. Now, to most people, that might seem, okay, it's not that crazy, 179 runs. They were 72 for 5 and 104 for 6. They ended up not losing a wicket and chasing down the score when they needed about, how much did they need? I'm just looking at the exact numbers. There we go. Okay. So they needed, I'm just doing the math really quickly, 74 runs in 40 balls. Okay, that's the math. 74 runs in 40 balls with 4 wickets in hand at the time that Shardul Thakur got out. And they ended up chasing that down, losing no wickets, with a really good cameo by Akshar Patel, scoring 38 of 17 balls. Lalit Yadav, who came in pretty early, was actually going quite slow. He came in at number 3, batted pretty slowly, but really picked it up towards the end of the innings, carrying it all the way through for the Delhi Capitals. So really impressive performance by them. I only bring this specific game up because it's a really good reminder of how deep this team bats. You know, the fact that Rovman Powell, again, a hard-hitting West Indian cricketer, we see so many of them in the IPL, comes in at number, 6. He comes in at number 6. You have Shardul Thakur after that. Shardul Thakur in this game against Mumbai Indians scoring 22 of 11 balls. He was absolutely hitting it all over the park. And then Akshar Patel coming in next means you have a lot of depth. They bat pretty confidently up to number 8. So that could be a really meaningful difference for them, especially as they wait for players like Mitchell Marsh and David Warner to get into their team. Having them bat so deep is going to be really helpful. I also want to give a big shout out to Shardul Thakur. You know, I think for a long time, people always believed Hardik Pandya was going to be our long-term all-rounder, as well as with Ravindra Jadeja. Shardul Thakur in the last year and a half has proved exactly how valuable he can be as an asset, obviously to this Delhi Capitals team, but more broadly to the Indian national team. He has batted so well down the order for India. And frankly, he's been a very helpful bowling asset as well, with a little bit of uptick in pace over time. So he's going to be a very, very valuable asset for this Delhi Capitals team. A great signing, obviously, and he's proving his worth in gold for both the Indian national team as well, and as well as I'm sure he's going to do for this Delhi Capitals team. This Mumbai Indians game, he did get hammered. So before everyone yells at me, I know he got hammered when he was bowling against the Mumbai Indians. But they're going to be a pretty, pretty interesting team to watch. The last couple of things I will mention, though, is they've lost 3 key pieces to their team from prior seasons. Number 1, of course, is their captain, Shreyas Iyer. Number 2 is Shikhar Dhawan. I think Shikhar Dhawan has been a very underrated player in the IPL. He's been someone who's pretty consistently been getting the runs. We'll get into Shikhar Dhawan when we talk about the Punjab Kings. Constantly sort of an underrated cricketer for Indian cricket. He's been a very, very solid opener. And I think him not being there, they will sort of miss. I also think Marcus Stoinis could be a miss for Delhi Capitals. I think he's an interesting player who's, you know, he bats sort of lower down the order. So he sometimes hasn't really been able to make a massive contribution to their teams, but he can be a very, very helpful asset to their squad. You know, he was a very helpful asset to their squad. I think also just as a locker room guy, I think he's just, Marcus Stoinis is just a heavily loved Aussie in the locker room. Everyone got along with him. So he could be sorely, sorely missed. Before we move on from Delhi, I have to give my, you know, every season I feel like we give our shout out to David Warner, and I have to do the same this season as well. David Warner is just so good. 2021, he had a bit of an off season, even getting dropped from the team, if you remember, from Sunrisers Hyderabad for a few games, which is when, you know, Kane Williamson took over responsibility of the captaincy. But let's forget last season. Didn't have a great last season, only 195 runs, played 8 games, didn't play all of the games. Not a great season. Season before that, 2020, he had 548 runs. Season before that, he had 692 runs. 2017 season, he has 641 runs. So he's been someone who has just consistently been in the runs. He is someone to me who will always, always be a danger. And I think once he's able to join that Delhi Capitals team, they're really going to need him to supplement what they're going to be missing from Shikhar Dhawan. So he's going to have to come in, you know, Shikhar Dhawan's place and have to fill up that role, which is very honestly a big, big shoes to fill given what all Shikhar Dhawan has done in the IPL, as well as specifically for the Delhi Capitals, especially last season. With that, I feel like these are the two big teams I want to cover. We'll go a little bit faster through the rest of these teams, but I'll move on next to the Gujarat Titans. Of course, they're one of the new franchises, so one of the more interesting teams. Okay, so let's look at the Gujarat Titans squad. Hardik Pandya is going to be leading this side. You have Rashid Khan, Lockie Ferguson, Rahul Tevatia, Shubman Gill, Mohammad Shami, Jason Roy, Vijay Shankar, David Miller, Alzari Joseph, Riddhiman Saha, Matthew Wade. I really like this team. I think they have great all-rounder options with Hardik Pandya as well as Vijay Shankar, both obviously Indian boys. And then, you also have some really interesting options from the top order perspective. You have Shubman Gill and Jason Roy to kick you off. Lockie Ferguson coming in with the bowl. Rashid Khan, who's been a really vital IPL performer for the Sunrisers Hyderabad so far, this season going to be with the Gujarat Titans. So Mohammad Shami, a name who's always usually at the top of the list from a wicket-taking perspective. Even in last year's Purple Cap, he was number 4, getting 19 wickets in the 2021 IPL season. So I really, really like this team. I think they have some great pieces to them. I think they're going to be very, very dangerous. David Miller and Alzari Joseph are going to be out as of now with their respective series. West Indies playing against England currently, which will have Alzari Joseph be out. David Miller, of course, in the same Bangladesh-South Africa series. So they'll have a couple of missing pieces, but I think they're a really star-studded team. They've got the pace with Lockie Ferguson and Mohammad Shami. They've got the Rashid Khan for spin. They've got a decent top-order options with Shubman Gill and Jason Roy. I think in the middle, they have some nice options to carry them through with Matthew Wade and Riddhiman Saha. I'll be interested to see who they go with for the keeper position. But you also have, of course, Captain Hardik Pandya and Vijay Shankar to maybe close off things, be their sloggers. And when David Miller comes in, if they do use him as one of the international players, he's another option who can bring some hard hitting. So I really, really like this team. I think it's a pretty well-rounded team. They have good options kind of from number 1 to number 11. I think they could be a very dangerous force in this IPL. I do want to bring up one big counterpoint, which is Captain Hardik Pandya. I spoke a little bit about Shardul Thakur's rise in the recent years in international cricket. His rise has corresponded pretty perfectly with Hardik Pandya's decline. Hardik Pandya in recent seasons has had a pretty tough go of things. To be fair to him, his back injury has really contributed to it, which has meant he's been able to bowl a lot less than he has been able to historically. And Hardik Pandya is a really helpful bowler because he's someone who can change up and vary his pace a decent amount. He's a pretty wily customer when it comes to bowling. But with his decline and being able to bowl, There's also, I think, to some extent, been a decline in his confidence as a batsman. He's not had a great year, very frankly, as an Indian cricketer. So I think this IPL is actually going to be a pretty important IPL for him. Obviously, big responsibility with the captaincy. But add to that, I think he needs to prove his form to bring himself back into serious regular contention for the Indian international team. Because very honestly, he has been pushed out, especially with how consistent Ravindra Jadeja and Shardul Thakur have been. He's kind of now on the back burner from the all-rounder perspective. But I think this IPL is a pretty darn important one for him to prove his worth, more importantly, to the Indian international team or the Indian national team. Let's move on then to the other franchise that is new to the IPL this season, the Lucknow Super Giants. Again, a pretty star-studded team. I really like this team. Captained by KL Rahul. They have Avesh Khan in the lineup. Avesh Khan, for those of you who remember, was second in the Purple Cap standings last season's IPL, getting 24 wickets. He can be a pretty helpful player for the Lucknow Super Giants. Marcus Stoinis, Jason Holder, Krunal Pandya. So the Pandya brothers are broken up now from their time at Mumbai Indians. Mark Wood, Quinton de Kock, Deepak Hooda, Manish Pandey, Krishnappa Gautam, Evan Lewis. This team as well. I don't know if it's been coordinated such that they wanted to ensure maybe these two teams, their owners are trying to prove their worth as they come into the IPL. But this to me is another star-studded lineup. I really like the Lucknow Super Giants. KL Rahul, during his time at Kings 11 Punjab, or it's now called Punjab Kings, really showed his worth as a captain. You know, I think he did a fantastic job as captain. He was relatively composed, took up wicket-keeping responsibilities as well, which, looking at this team, he probably has to do again this season. Great work all in all from him, you know, at Punjab Kings. I think he's going to do the same this season. He was, last season, for those of you who remember, he came third in the Orange Cap standings with 626 runs, had a higher score of 98. So he's been pretty impressive, both as a batsman and as captain in the last season of the IPL. This, though, I will call out, is again going to be affected in the exact same way the Delhi Capitals are, which is they have a bunch of international players who have conflicts. Marcus Stoinis, Australia-Pakistan series. Jason Holder, West Indies-England series. Mark Wood, I actually believe, has an injury, even though I know there's also a West Indies-England series. I think he also has an injury. And then Quinton de Kock in the Bangladesh-South Africa series. So this is one where, this is a team again where great squad, but they are really, really going to be hurt by the people who are going to be out due to just international responsibilities. But, you know, once they're back, they can be a really, really solid team. And I'm a big fan of Jason Holder. I think he's one of the more underrated players. He's a true all-rounder, tall pace bowler. I think he's a very solid batsman, very handy down the order to get some quick runs on the board. I think they're pretty interesting, and they've got all these players who I think, you know, sometimes I feel in the IPL or in any quick tournament setting, you need to have different people show up and guys who are known to show up at random times. I think they have the players who would do that. You know, on the days where KL Rahul falls through, you know, doesn't perform, or Quinton de Kock doesn't perform, I feel like a Manish Pandey will stand out. A Manish Pandey, I feel like every IPL, he has two or three of these really solid knocks where he takes a team through, gets a 50, gets a quick fire 40, 45, and takes his team through in a chase, or if they're batting first, they get a good total. So guys like him, Deepak Hooda, could make some pretty vital contributions throughout this tournament. So I'm looking out for LSG, as I'm calling them, the Lucknow Super Giants. Let's get into the Mumbai Indians now. They're obviously the franchise with, you know, the most IPL championships. They're a big franchise, big name franchise. They are interesting. Based on the names that I've mentioned so far, you've now probably figured out they've lost a lot of their iconic Mumbai Indians guys. But let me go through their team and maybe you'll get an idea of this. So Rohit Sharma, of course, continues as captain, one of the few teams that have the same captain from last IPL. Ishan Kishan, great young player, showing his talent for both India and in this squad at the top of the order. Jasprit Bumrah, Kyron Pollard. I mean, at this point, these guys are synonymous with Mumbai Indians. You can't think of anyone else but Mumbai Indians when you think of this team, or of those four players. Murugan Ashwin, Basil Thumpe. Joffrey Archer is actually currently injured, but hopefully he's able to make it for some part of this IPL, because I think he's going to be a pretty important part of this IPL. Fabian Allen and Surya Kumar Yadav. This team, to me, is looking a little bit weak. Now, also just a quick reminder, when I say all these names for each of these squads, I'm just calling up the names that sort of stand out to me, some of the bigger names, some of the names that could be interesting, that sound interesting to me. I'm not mentioning everyone in the squad. There are much bigger squads. This Mumbai Indians team does not look great. Very honestly, I think they're missing some very key pieces. I'm going to be interested in knowing how much they're going to miss their two Pandya brothers, both missing. You no longer have Trent Bolt, who's been such a big part of their squad for some time. It honestly looks like a very, very, very depleted squad. Now, they still have the four horsemen of Mumbai Indians. I thought the Pandya brothers were part of the core. I guess not. But the remaining four, Rohit Sharma, Ishan Kishan, Jasprit Bumrah, Karan Pollard, all four look very solid. They look like they can still perform at the highest level. They're still doing a great job for their teams and they'll be solid. The question is, where will they get contributions from the rest of the team? You know, Basil Thumpe, at the time that I'm recording, had a very, very nice and solid spell against the Delhi Capitals. Like everyone, he did get hit for a few runs, but 8.75 in the context of this game wasn't actually too bad. He got 3 wickets, in fact, for 35 runs in his 4 overs, and he showed some decent pace along the way. So he's someone who maybe can make a really helpful contribution. Murugan Ashwin also had a fantastic spell against Delhi. 2 wickets for just 14 runs in his 4 overs. So I think both Thumpe and Ashwin are going to have to make a big contribution with the ball for this team, because barring Jasprit Bumrah, it isn't really a strong bowling lineup. Again, just to remind everyone, this is Mumbai Indians were the ones who, at the time that I'm recording, played the Delhi Capitals and really went from having Delhi by the neck at 104 for 6 to end up losing the game with them. Delhi Capitals chasing down 177, losing no other wickets after Shardul Thakur. So it's kind of a reminder of how weak their bowling is and how they really let go of that game. So I'm not optimistic for Mumbai Indians this season. They didn't get into the qualifiers last season either. So I don't think they're going to be in there this season either. They're not looking particularly great. But, you know, you can never rule out the Mumbai Indians, is what I've sort of learned over time. Let's get into the Punjab Kings. Another team with a different captain, this time Mayank Agarwal. Mayank Agarwal is obviously an interesting player because I definitely feel like he's one of the more inexperienced international players to get captaincy, if that makes sense. So, interestingly, he's going to be captain for the Punjab Kings. Again, a few interesting, players in here. Liam Livingston, Kagiso Rabada, Shah Rukh Khan, for those of you who remember, we made a bunch of fun of him last season. But he ended up proving to be a very solid contributor for the Punjab Kings at the bottom of the order, kind of helping out just to be a hard hitter at the end of the innings. And he can make a great contribution. Shikhar Dhawan and Johnny Bairstow coming in as well. So really, really interesting side. I like some of the bigger names on this side. It's going to be, there are going to be some new people are going to come in. It's not a very strong squad, but I think it's a squad that can make some noise. I think Shikhar Dhawan will always be someone who is continually underrated. At the time that I'm recording, he's already made a helpful contribution. For those of you who watched this game, Punjab Kings chased down 205 runs made by RCB. Really impressive stuff. And Shikhar Dhawan is already proving his weight in gold, scoring a super quick fire 43 of 29 balls. So super quick, right off the bat, he's shown his worth for this Punjab Kings squad, and he's going to keep doing that. Whether you like him or not, you cannot deny the contribution that Shikhar Dhawan makes. He is just a very, very solid top-order batsman, and he's going to continue to be there, in my opinion, in this IPL as well. So, great pickup for them. Last season, also, he scored 587 runs, was number 4 in the Orange Cap standings. So he just keeps going on and on. He's continually trying to prove that he will make it into the back into the Indian 11. Now, you may have noticed, as I said those names, not a lot of bowlers that I called out. And that's a little bit of a concern for me, as is probably already exhibited by their giving away 205 runs against RCB. Their bowling lineup does not look very strong. And their marquee name in the bowling, which is Kagiso Rabada, is going to be out currently with the South Africa versus Bangladesh series. So bowling looks a little bit of a struggle. They're not going to have, you know, they really have to think through how to get the overs out. You know, Sandeep Sharma, Arshdeep Singh are players who've been with them for some time. They're just not that solid. They're going to have a tough time definitely with the ball. But maybe if the top order can keep chasing down scores like 205, they have a chance. But to me, you know, if we're breaking this out into top half and bottom half teams, to me, they look pretty evidently like a bottom half team, despite their impressive performance against RCB at the date that I'm recording. Let's get into Rajasthan Royals. Another team, interestingly, with the same captain, which is Sanju Samson. Sort of like Mayank Agarwal again, not a whole lot of international experience, but getting this awesome opportunity to be captain for Rajasthan Royals. He's continuing on from prior seasons. In this team, you also have Prasidh Krishna, Joss Butler, Shimran Hetmeyer, Trent Bolt, Yuzvendra Chahal, Ravichandran Ashwin, James Neesham, and Rasi Venderdusen, who I'm a big fan of, not just for his name. He has more than his name. I am interested by this team, as maybe it sounds like I am for every team, but no, I think they have, their strength is going to be their heavy hitting, right? They have those names. When you think of big hitters in the game, a lot of times you're thinking of the Shimran Hetmeyers, the Joss Butlers. Maybe I think people might argue that you think of like a Karen Pollard or names like that, but you can't deny the fact, let me rephrase that and say, you can't deny the fact that someone like a Joss Butler or a Shimran Hetmeyer are pretty big hitters, and they're going to make, that's their job. The same thing can be said for Jimmy Neesham, who I think can make a really helpful contribution as an all-rounding presence, you know, obviously, you know, a nice solid left-hand bat and bowl. I think he can be very, very helpful for this side. Again, I'll say the exact same thing as I said for the Punjab Kings. They have some interesting pieces, but if I'm again, you know, breaking this out into top half teams, bottom half teams, Rajasthan Royals to me are very apparently a bottom half team. Similar to Punjab Kings, I'm not super optimistic of their bowling. I do think, obviously, from a spin perspective, they're sort of covered with Yuzvendra Chahal and Ravichandran Ashwin, but I'm not necessarily a huge fan of Prasidh Krishna, but he's proven me wrong before. He could prove me wrong again this season. I think he's a little bit up and down. A name I didn't mention that could make a helpful contribution, has been really good in the IPL, is Devdutt Padikkal. He's done a great job for RCB in prior seasons. He's a solid batsman at the top of the order. I think he can make some good starts for this team to set up some of their big hitters later in the season. A name I want to call out, because I just really like Venderdusen. He's been a really, really good cricketer for South Africa in recent years. I was looking through the ICC rankings and I actually saw he's like top 10, I believe, in both ODIs and T20 rankings. So he is a really solid batsman and he's proven his worth in gold for South Africa in recent years. Well, in recent year is probably more accurate, but I think he'll be a pretty important person for them once he arrives to the team again. He's playing the Bangladesh series currently, but I think he could be an interesting piece for them. Bowling, like I said, is going to be a struggle. Pace bowling more specifically. Navdeep Saini, Prasidh Krishna, like I already mentioned, and Nathan Coulter-Nine could be the people to come in and provide some support. But again, I just don't think their bowling is going to be able to keep up with a lot of the other teams that we see, especially with the stacked batting lineups that so many squads have. I don't see them being a serious threat in this tournament. And in my opinion, even though they have the big hitter names like Shimran Hetmeyer and Jimmy Neesham, those guys are just not consistent enough. Shimran Hetmeyer is so fun to watch when he's going, but he's going very rarely. Like, he's very, very inconsistent, doesn't have a lot of good games. So I'm not, you know, really thinking of this team as a serious threat to win it or even reach the qualifiers for that matter. RCB, this team is such a challenge to talk about. Oh, it's a royal challenge to talk about, if I might. RCB, I hate talking about this squad every season because every season I say the same thing. they're a great squad. They are always a great squad. They're like the England of IPL. You know, what England is to football, they are to the IPL. Always have a great squad coming to the tournament. Always underperform. I know England has changed that in recent years, even though they have a worse squad now. But I'm saying like England from like 2000 to like 2014. Okay, that's what I mean. I mean, I don't even know what to say about them. But anyway, let me go through the squad. Let me go through their team before I start, you know, yelling about them. Obviously, you have the man at the top who's been with them for every season so far. No, not for every. Has he been there with every season? I think he has, right? I think so. Virat Kohli, Glenn Maxwell, Harshal Patel, Vanindu Hasaranga, Josh Hazlewood, Faf du Plessis, Mohammad Siraj, Dinesh Kartik, Jason Behrendorf. This team is so good. It's such a great squad to me. But again, at the time that I'm recording, they're 0-1 because they scored 205. They put 205 on the board, but they could not defend it. I'm so frustrated by this team. Now, listen, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of optimism, a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this team. And here's why. One big note is Virat Kohli has let go of the captaincy of this team. So Faf du Plessis is actually going to be leading the team. Let me call out Faf du Plessis again. I talked so much about his contributions to Chennai Super Kings. He is going to be a very, very vital piece for the Bangalore team as well. Already in this first game, he scored 88 of 57 balls with 7 sixes in that innings at a strike rate of 154. So he was already a very helpful piece for that team, and he'll continue to be that. You know, he is just a guy who's very, very solid. He's generally quite consistent. Maybe that's something that the Royal Challengers need, you know, just a solid presence at the start to just maintain composure and ensure a good performance for the batsman. Probably takes a little bit of pressure in this batting lineup of Virat Kohli. Having said all that, they're also slightly impacted by the players that have conflicts. Glenn Maxwell and Josh Hazlewood. Josh Hazlewood, I believe, is nursing an injury as well. Glenn Maxwell is actually going to be out. And I believe a part of it is the Pakistan series. But I think he's going to be taking some extra time off to actually get married. This might be wrong. I hope I'm not spreading fake news. But Jason Behrendorf as well, depending on what squads he's selected for, will also be out for some time with the Pakistan series. So they're a little bit depleted, especially with their international players. But I think Vanindu Hasaranga, a player who I've, you know, started to watch a little bit more recently from Sri Lanka, has been looking like a very interesting spin bowler. Pretty high. I think he's a top 10 ranked T20I bowler. So he could be a pretty interesting piece for RCB. To me, the squad looks great. Harshal Patel is last season's purple cap. There we go. Harshal Patel was last season's purple cap with 32 wickets. That's a great. He blew out the competition. He had 32 wickets. Second highest was Avesh Khan with 24. So he completely blew out the competition. You know, he should be, you know, the hope is that he will have just as good as an IPL this season. But, you know, as a learning curve for everybody, I think who's ever supported RCB or followed RCB, you cannot judge the performance of their squad from their lineup. The performance, the end result has no correlation to how good their squad is. They can have the best squad, the worst squad. It's very confusing. They're just one of those teams that seems to notoriously underperform in the IPL. I think squad-wise, on paper, they look fantastic. They're definitely a top four squad. But as we all say with sports, the games are not played on paper. So let's see what RCB can do. Last season, they did reach the qualifiers, but got knocked out sure enough to Kolkata in that qualifier number 2 right off the bat. So I don't necessarily have too much optimism for them, but hopefully they're able to do something for their sake. Let's get into our last and final team. Wow, it's been a long episode, but almost done, guys. Almost done. I took a couple of water breaks in between. But Sunrisers Hyderabad. This is a team that's also severely depleted. It's kind of like Mumbai Indians in the sense that a lot of the names that you've learned to associate with Sunrisers Hyderabad are no longer there. more, you know, name, the biggest name, of course, being David Warner, who is now with the Delhi Capitals. But let's go through the Hyderabad squad. Kane Williamson, captain. Nicholas Puran, Washington Sundar, Bhuvaneshwar Kumar, Marco Janssen, Aidan Markram, and Glenn Phillips from New Zealand. You know, this to me doesn't look like a great squad. This to me looks like one of the weakest squads, in my opinion. Maybe that's why, it just happens that also they're last alphabetically. To me, I wouldn't be shocked if they're last in the points table as well. To me, it's a very, very weak squad. I mean, I'm not going to go into Kane Williamson. Kane Williamson is Kane Williamson. He will always be a very important player. He's a great leader. I think he will be a very, important piece for that team. But other than that, I really don't know who else I have much optimism in, right? I think, someone like a Nicholas Puran always gets this brand label of this hard-hitting player. To me, he has the same problem with, in my opinion, a lot of West Indian top order batsmen, except for maybe like a Shea Hope. They're just not consistent. And Nicholas Puran is it's true for Nicholas Puran. Exactly like I said for Shimron Hetmyer. When he gets going, great. Super fun to watch. Also a left-hander. But he gets going so few times. It'll probably be one or two games in the entire IPL for the seasons that we've watched. Maybe he'll do something different this season, but I don't think so. Bhuvaneshwar Kumar obviously will help with the pace a little bit. Washington Sundar obviously with the spin a little bit. Marco Janssen, Aidan Markram, Sean Abbott will all be out. The first two with the South Africa, Bangladesh series, Sean Abbott with Australia, Pakistan. But honestly, I don't see this team making it very far. I think it's the worst team. And frankly, the four people who are no longer on this squad could be the major reason why. They no longer have Warner. They no longer have Rashid Khan. They no longer have Johnny Bairstow. And they no longer have Riddhiman Saha. Those are four names that have almost become synonymous with the Sunrisers Hyderabad in recent seasons. And none of them are going to be with the team. And frankly, I don't think they found a good substitute for any of them to supplement this squad. So I have no optimism for this team. I want to quickly shout out how impressive Rashid Khan has been in the last few seasons of the IPL. He's not really been a purple, had the numbers to necessarily win the purple cap, but he's always in and around that conversation. 2021, he had 18 wickets. 2020, he had 20 wickets. 2019, he had 17 wickets. 2018, he had 21 wickets. 2017, he had 17 wickets. So he's a very clever spin bowler. Afghanistani national, of course, brilliant cricketer. He is going to be sorely missed from the Sunrisers Hyderabad team. So I don't think they've got enough people to help them make it out of the initial stages. I definitely do not think they will be a team that makes it to the qualifiers. And I realized through all of this, I don't think I covered the Kolkata Knight Riders. Did I? I don't think I did. I completely missed them. So let me quickly go through the Kolkata Knight Riders and then I will sign off. KKR, new captain, Shreyas Iyer. They have Andre Russell, Nitish Rana, Varun Chakravarti, Pat Cummins, Sunil Narayan, adding Ajinkya Rahane as well. They, to me, Tim Saudi, also in their squad, Mohammad Nami, Umesh Yadav. They're a pretty interesting squad to me as well. Shreyas Iyer, obviously coming in as captain, is going to make a pretty important contribution, both as captain as well as for the team. Obviously, they had an impressive IPL last season, reaching the finals. We all know what Andre Russell can do. Nitish Rana at the top of the order has been making some solid contributions. Varun Chakravarti with the ball, Pat Cummins with the ball, Sunil Narayan with ball and bat. Ajinkya Rahane had a very solid game yesterday against the Chennai Super Kings. So they have a pretty well-rounded squad. And I've, typically not been someone who's been very optimistic on Calcutta, but I think this could be a season where they could prove some people wrong, and they look pretty interesting. Again, I did not predict them reaching the finals last season. And I think if anything, their squad has only gotten better. So they could be a pretty decent squad this year. With that, let me get into my predictions, which I said, I just realized as I was going through the teams, I was like, did I go through KKR? Obviously I didn't. Predictions. Four qualifiers for me. Number one, I do think the new Gujarat Titans make it through. As I mentioned at the top of the order, I absolutely love their squad and everything they're doing. I'm also going to say the Lucknow Super Giants make it. Both the new teams, I think, make it. Their squads are so stacked. Although, like I said, the Super Giants are going to be hurt by people being away. The third team that I'm going to say is actually the Kolkata Knight Riders. I think their squad is decent enough that I can see them making it through. And then finally, I'm really debating between the Delhi Capitals and RCB. I want to say RCB because RCB has the squad, but I always get nervous with them. So I will shy away from saying RCB and say the Delhi Capitals. So the four teams that I have are the two new teams, so Gujarat and Lucknow, and then followed up by the Delhi Capitals and Kolkata Knight Riders. So those are my four teams that I think will reach the Final Four. No Mumbai Indians from my pick. And no Chennai Super Kings for my pick as well. I think the winners will finally be Delhi Capitals. You know, I think the Delhi team is pretty solid. I know I was even on the fence on whether they would even be in my top four. But now that I've been convinced of them being in my top four, somehow I've been convinced of them like winning it all the way through. Because frankly, I think they're going to be helped a lot by David Warner, Mitchell Marsh, once those guys come in. And you know, I think Shardul Thakur can be helpful too. And maybe I'm just convinced by that really impressive chase down against Mumbai that I just watched. But that's my prediction. Those are my predictions for the teams reaching the qualifiers. Those are my predictions for the teams that win. With that, let's, you know, I'll wrap up this pretty long episode. But do, you know, let us know your thoughts on who you think are the favorites for this year's IPL. Any players that have caught your eyes, any players that you think have been slight disappointments. Let us know in the comments. If you do enjoy this episode, please do leave a like, share this episode or any of the other episodes that you find interesting within our podcast with who you think someone else might find kind of cool. But with that, signing off, we'll have a new episode next week. Take care, stay safe, and have a great week ahead. If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.